Well, hopefully the cold freezes or the coldness that's due to hit the midsection of the United States here in the next couple of days isn't going to affect you. I believe we're not looking to have any temperatures higher than freezing at least through tomorrow, Friday. That'll be the sixth, wouldn't it? Yeah, that'll be the sixth. And a Happy New Year to you. We're inside the coin jar with we're inside the coin jar. We're reading through the book. Oh shoot, it's the novella "Goodbye to All That." We've read through several chapters last time. This time we're going to be a little more prescient. We're only going to go through two of them, starting off in half a moment from the coin jar. The date. Will was tempted to get on the internet to broadcast his encounter and his subsequent appointment with Gwen Martin. When reality hit him, he knew that if he broadcast his impending date, he would probably have the horde back again, attempting to find some way to get involved. Maybe he'd say something after the fact, perhaps even backing up his accomplishment with pictures. Perhaps. It was a short walk from Will's apartment on Walnut Street to the Blue and Gray at the corner of Main and South Streets. He prepared by dressing in one of his better polo shirts, one which was not quite as wrinkly as the others, while he speculated about what this hastily arranged date might eventually lead to. Matrimony may not be such a bad thing, he thought. She might even agree to do it without getting married, maybe even tonight. He felt an erection starting to develop. He shifted his thoughts so that he wouldn't be embarrassed walking out of his front door. Will put on a jacket and open his front door to find himself confronted by Jenny Turner. Jeannie Turner, sorry. You still need to work harder on separating your clothes when you do your laundry, she stated before he could open his mouth, but for now, you'll do. Will had totally forgotten that Jeannie was at his apartment to pick him up for their regular Monday night bowling league up in Prentice. You do have your bowling shirt under your jacket, right? I'm sorry, I forgot. I have a date, Will blurted out without thinking. Well, how the hell can you forget something that we've been doing for nearly every Monday night for the better part of 10 years now? What is it, Will Cheney? Another meeting with some of your Star Trek buddies? Will was struck dumb. Here he was on the cusp of finally getting to know a woman he had idolized for at least the past 20 years, and here's Jeannie Turner. She was an average woman in her middle 40s who, while being a good friend, was nothing more than that. Or so he thought. She dropped hints now and then that she might like to get married someday to someone like him, meaning him. But he was always able to keep her at arm's length. Jeannie Turner, as a friend, was one thing. Jeannie Cheney, as his wife, was another. Well, I'm... Will's mind was racing, thinking of something to say. Tell her the truth or tell her a lie, he thought. I really can't say. He struck the middle ground. Compromise. It was all she really needed to know in the first place, anyway. It's okay. I understand, she assured him. He thought he heard a hint of disappointment in her voice. You let me know how it goes later in the week. Pizza on Friday night? Okay, she smiled, but you have to come to my place to pick me up at 6:30 sharp. After a quick exchange of pleasantries, she got in her car and drove off. For the first time in nearly 3 years, he had made a date with Jeannie Turner, which didn't involve the bowling alley. For a good cause, he said. You're alone, that's good. Gwen Martin met Will at the front door of the Blue and Gray. She was dressed modestly without showing any cleavage. Will was thankful for having one less hurdle to this evening. The funny thing about being in a small town is that at least one other person is aware of your business, Gwen said, ushering him into the parlor. Let me tell you something I know that you know. Will had visions of his date with Gwen Martin crumbling into dirt before it had a chance to really get started. Mr. Richard Elston has told me that you're a fan of Star Trek and that you may have put something on the internet early yesterday morning to attract some of your buddies down here so that they could possibly meet me. Will's heart sank into his shoes. I'm not on television anymore except on reruns. I make personal appearances at Star Trek conventions only rarely. I'm moving to Magnolia to get away from the rat race I've been in for most of my life, and I treasure my privacy. For the first time since encountering Glenn Martin less than 3 days ago, Will Cheney came to the realization that she was a real human being and not the character that she played on television. You have no idea how much of my life has been stolen from me because of that stupid show. I'm grateful for the opportunities which have opened up because of my appearances, but I'm to the point in life where I'd rather have some privacy. I'm sorry, Will heard himself apologizing. What happened yesterday was my fault. I should have known. I'm sorry. Apology accepted, she told him, motioning for him to sit down on one of the wingback chairs in the parlor. I'm glad to make your acquaintance. Just so you'll know, the character I played on television is now a 54-year-old woman who no longer has a husband and who wants to meet new people so she can enjoy life for a change. I'm Will Cheney. I'm a 55-year-old guy who's never been married, working at a job I don't really like. She winked at him and asked what he might like to have from a drink in the car, or a drink cart in the room. I'll just have some ginger ale, please, he told her. I don't drink. Gwen poured Will some ginger ale and then poured herself some drambuie over a scattering of ice before sitting down on the other chair in the parlor. I thought you were a teetotaler, he remarked. I don't drink heavily, but I do drink, she told him. Does that surprise you, Mr. Cheney? As a matter of fact, yes, Miss Martin. I thought that with your outreach you wouldn't... that's all. If you're referring to that thing that I had with Warren, my ex-husband, I was never serious about it. You can call me Ginny if you'd like, Mr. Cheney. Well, you can call me Will. Will's initial nervousness was starting to ebb from him. He started to study Ginny's face, coming to the realization that without makeup, she was remarkably average, just like Jeannie. What made you come to Magnolia? This just seemed like it'd be in my neat little town. I came here a few months ago, was impressed, and thought I'd like to live here. Except for you, no one here seems to know who I am. I value that, Will. Will watched her slam back the drambuie, then pour herself another one. Will, tell me about Magnolia. What are the people here really like? Will had to think for a moment. He really hadn't spent too much time interacting with people that he'd lived with for most of his life. Is this place as laid back as it seems, or is it filled with intrigue and mystery? Well, for the most part, the people here are ordinary. We have our shares of ups and downs. Not a lot happens here that no one knows about, and we all look out for each other. Are there any deep, dark secrets? Any skeletons in the closet? Not really, except for the cover-up of something which used to be called the incident, but most everyone here knows the whole story and forgot about it. The only person with an obsession about the whole thing was Glenn Michaels, who took over for Zeke at the radio station when he passed. Glenn was the cause of the whole thing, you know. Ginny threw back her second drink. Sounds like an interesting story. I'd like to hear about it someday. Glenn Michaels' wife wrote a book about it. It's in the library if you care to check it out. Will sucked on his ginger ale while Gwen poured a third drambuie. You're not what I expected, Will remarked when Ginny sat down. What did you expect, she asked. I thought you'd be like you were when you were on television. Well, that's what everyone expects. It's not me, though. I act. I portray characters. Like on Goodbye to All That? You know about the show? I have it on VHS over at my place. I've seen every episode. You and only half a dozen other people at the most. I still get residuals from that show, though. Just like with Trek, I have an income for life. Wish I could say the same. The plant where I work is in the process of cleaning up and closing. I'll be out of a job sooner than later. Sorry to hear that, Will. What happens to Magnolia when the plant shuts down? Tourists. It's one of the reasons Zeke Collins had Glenn Michaels take over at Zeke's when he passed. Zeke used to pull in people from miles around to come to Magnolia to do some visiting and some shopping over at the shops on Cherry Street. Are you going to try to stay here? I've never really thought about leaving, Will told Jenny, only half believing what he said. Will and Gwen eventually went on a walk through town. For just over an hour, he pointed out various points of interest, providing some of the history and the color of his hometown. He felt a certain amount of pride in Magnolia and had not experienced for some time. He also felt increasingly comfortable with a former television actor, seeing her in an entirely different light. Their evening ended with light conversation on the front porch of the Blue and the Gray. Before he left, Gwen Martin took Will's hand, drew him close, and gave him a goodnight kiss. Will was definitely surprised and flustered. He wasn't certain, but he thought he might be falling in love with Gwen Martin. Chapter: Reality Bites Back. Did you ever find out if it was really Gwen Martin you saw the other day in Magnolia? Joel was on the phone just before Will prepared to go to bed. I'm not certain, Joel. Maybe I was seeing things. Then again, maybe you weren't. Look, Will, if you did see her, you wouldn't hold out on me, would you? Will suddenly found himself at a crossroads. He and Joel had been friends since they were roommates in college. They had similar jobs. If his job was in jeopardy, Will knew that Joel knew some people who might be willing to hire a 50-something engineer. Sharing his experience with Gwen Martin would definitely be beneficial to his friendship and his career. On the other hand, Will was definitely wanted to cultivate the budding relationship he had with Gwen. The notion that he might be able to parlay himself into a position where he could go to bed with a woman he would idolize for most of his life weighed just as heavily on him. I wouldn't hold out on my best friend. You know that, Will lied. I have a date on Friday night with Jeannie Turner, he added, hoping that he would deflect any further questions Joel might have had about Gwen Martin. Jeannie? Isn't that the girl you've been seeing for almost forever? Same one. Have you finally decided to get serious with her? That was one question Will hoped Joel wouldn't be asking him. You're getting something on the side, aren't you? Will felt a sudden rush. If Joel thought he'd been finally gotten together with Jeannie Turner, perhaps Joel could be kept far enough away, long enough for him to develop a serious relationship with Jenny. Perhaps Will could move in with a former television actor when his job ended. You sly dog, Joel exclaimed. It's good to know that at least you're not hosing your pillow anymore. Well, I guess I'm caught, Will sighed. I can never keep anything from you, buddy. Joel could be heard laughing on the other side of the phone. Let me know when you and Jeannie finally move in with each other, okay? Sure will, Joel. Will hung up the phone, feeling guilty about lying to his best friend. Well, maybe it wasn't lying so much as it was letting him jump to his own conclusions, he rationalized. Serves him right, though, for getting the horde down here on Sunday. He felt satisfied. He also felt that his usual Monday night date with his hand wasn't necessary under the circumstances. Will took the long way back to work again the next morning, hoping that he would see the black Lincoln in the lot where he saw it the day before. He was disappointed. He drove past the Blue and the Gray on his way back from work, hoping to see the black Lincoln in the parking area. It would give him a chance to ride by, drop in, and say hi. Again, he was disappointed. He arrived at his apartment, flopped down on the sofa, and contemplated the blank screen on the television. His phone rang. I just got a call from some unknown someone congratulating me for finally getting you into bed and settled down. Jeannie sounded angry. After you stood me up for bowling last night, I hope the hell that you have a decent explanation. Well, you know I'd never think of... And that's another thing, Will Cheney. You never think of me, even after we've always shared in the past 10 years. Jeannie, I'm sorry. Sorry, my ass. I don't know what you've got in mind, but I really don't want to know. You can forget about the pity date you invited me on for Friday night. You can forget about bowling, and you can go straight to hell as far as I'm concerned. Goodbye and drop dead. Will could feel Jeannie's anger when she slammed the phone down in his ear. He took a moment to regain his composure before picking up the phone again so that he could call Joel to see if he had called Jeannie. After he dialed, he put the receiver up to his ear and was met with a strange silence from the receiver. Are you trying to call someone, Will? Jenny's voice sliced through the silence. He had apparently picked up his phone and dialed before her incoming call had a chance to trigger his ringer. Oh, hi there, he stammered. It happens. Don't sweat it. Look, I was just calling to see if you'd care to join me for dinner Friday night at the Chinese place in the strip mall in Preston. Will felt his heart pounding. Sure, what time? Say about 6:30. I could pick you up if you'd like. Okay, you know where I live? I got your phone number from the book and the address is right there next to your name. It's low tech, but it works. I guess it does, he said. They made arrangements. After hanging up the phone, Will took a deep breath to assess his situation. Since Jeannie had told him off, he immediately assumed that he was a free agent. Never mind how it happened, or he was free to go on his date with Gwen Martin with no regrets. Or was he? What caused Jeannie Turner to turn on him so quickly and after so long a time? A pity date? I guess it was a pity date after all, he confessed to the mirror in his bathroom. Too late for all that now. I have a real date with a real television star on Friday night, and I might just get lucky. He cackled and crowed for a few minutes while he used the bathroom. While he was fixing dinner, pangs of guilt began to creep in around the edges. Jeannie Turner had actually been very good to him. The only reason he didn't get involved with her was mostly his fault for finding her too plain to bother with. Gwen Martin wasn't that much different. Jeannie was familiar to him. Despite her plainness, he came to the conclusion that he had grown terribly fond of the woman. He felt a hole start to develop, one Gwen wouldn't be able to fill. Halfway through his evening meal, Will decided to give Jeannie a call and leave himself at her mercy. 15 rings elapsed. Her caller ID probably alerted her, relieving her of the responsibility of actually having to answer his call. He would try again later. They'd gotten mad at each other before and would most likely be mad at each other again someday. He'd give her time to cool off. A few days, perhaps. After his date with Jenny. Perhaps. That's all for this time. Yeah, a little bit shorter than last time, but well, we have a story developing. Next week we may actually, I'm contemplating going and breaking from doing the story there. It would be my father's 94th birthday, and he has a piece in the coin jar, which I might get into, or I might not, depending on how I feel about it. That's just entirely up to me, I guess. But we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. In the meantime, don't take any nickels and see you out there.